arms close, tell you what's inside my soul. Sweet it is, how sweet it is.
Thank you. You may be seated. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Paul and Sherry Kofer? You know Paul? Great to have you here today. He's a handsome guy in the suit. She's prettier than he is. And it's good to have you here. Just a word, and if I could ask for prayer. If you remember Art Feinstein, who used to come and worship, well, the Lord called him home, okay? And family's keeping the service fairly quiet. I'll be doing that tomorrow. So if you can pray for the service, that'll be good. Art knew the Lord, and so it's going to be a pleasure to do a service tomorrow. I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you may think that God doesn't know everything about you? Is there anybody here who thinks that he doesn't know anything about or everything about you? All right, let me ask a follow-up question to that. If God knows everything about you, the good and the bad, right? And if we're honest, there's not too much good in there, but the good and the bad and all the deepest, darkest secrets, And he has all the ammunition he needs to make you look bad, to ruin your reputation, to tell others how bad you are and what you've done. And yet he doesn't do it. Isn't that incredible? How would you feel if you walked in this morning and you saw your name up here and on the televisions with every sin you have committed? How would you feel? Well, you probably would just kind of sit there saying, I can't say it's not true. And yet God chooses not to gossip. He chooses not to gossip. He doesn't broadcast how bad we are. We know we're bad, okay? He doesn't broadcast it out. He doesn't single me out. He doesn't single you out with the intention of destroying you. You know who will do that, though, is the devil, all right? Yet, he says, I love you, even knowing your deepest, darkest stuff. Whoa. Why is it then, if our God chooses not to indulge in gossip and slander and libel, that even as Christians, sometimes we do? Isn't that true? Again, and we can mask it in good ways a lot of times, can't we? Would you pray for so-and-so? I saw him staggering home the other night. You know, would you pray for so-and-so? Or my favorite, hey, did you hear? Yeah. When people come up and say, did you hear? I usually say to them, I don't want to hear. You know, did you hear? And we have this innate thing that's plugged into our sinfulness that says, well, you know, kind of we want to make ourselves look better than somebody else. What better way to do that is than with gossip and slander and innuendo? Wow. It kind of sounds like our political situation today. And you and I have seen the unfortunate results of gossip's lies and innuendo. You may have been the victim of them. Or, unfortunately, we may have been the perpetrator of them. Many good people have had their lives impacted or ruined by the evil use of their tongue. Isn't that true? It happens all the time. Paul and I have been ministry for how long? How long have you been in ministry, Paul? About 40 years. It's about 32, 33 for me. And we have both seen good men of God, good women of God, ruined by gossip. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Reputations are damaged. Families can be destroyed. The courses of life can be changed for forever. Forever. Remember, there was a saying that actually came, I believe, from World War II. There was an old saying, loose lips sink ships, right? Well, I just read you the history of it, okay? It's an American English idiom, meaning beware of unguarded talk. The phrase originated on propaganda posters during World War II. The phrase was created by the War Advertising Council, used on posters by the United States Office of War Information. And it was designed so that to say to people, be careful what you say, because what you say can have a ripple effect and a bad one for our troops and for the future of our country. We ought to bring that saying back today. We really ought to, starting in the church. Loosely lips sink ships. You know what the problem is? The problem is that our culture has embraced gossip. It's embraced reality television. It's embraced a whole lot of stuff that goes on. And I have to ask, I hate reality television. I'll tip my hand here. I don't even like programs like Dr. Phil and some of those talk shows. Why in the world would anybody want to subject themselves to air their garbage publicly? Why? What does it accomplish? You know what it does? It makes us voyeurs. It makes us voyeurs, and we sit there smugly and we say, I'm not as bad as them. And out of our next breath, we'll say, hey, let me tell you about brother so-and-so. I'm not as bad as them. Words are powerful. They can be used to build up. They can be used to destroy. You and I need our tongues to say words. Yet the tongue is the smallest member of the body, and it can be the most powerful. And if we're not careful, the most destructive. I want to bring you through this passage. I lost my clicker. There it is. Excuse me. Marilyn and I have a standing joke. When I can't find anything, I'll say, where is it? She says, it's behind the milk. I always lose stuff. How many guys have been there? This is a powerful passage from James. If you want to follow along, we're in James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The first warning here is to teachers. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. It's a great responsibility, okay? Now, I think we've all, unfortunately, has seen sometimes teachers who get off on their own agendas, who may not be speaking the truth, and worse yet, will use their office for gossip, for innuendo. And this is a severe warning for those of us who teach. It says, listen, be careful, and here's why. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect or completely mature, spiritually and emotionally, able to keep their whole body in check. Guess what? We're not. We all stumble in many ways, and if we're not careful, we can fall right into this trap, and our tongues can do mass destruction. Teachers are especially held accountable to this. Well, some of you are sitting here saying, well, thank God I'm not a teacher. Well, you may be called as a teacher, so be careful of what you say. Now, who's a teacher? It's not necessarily somebody in the pulpit only. It's not only somebody who teaches in Sunday school class. A teacher is somebody who shares the word in music. Somebody who will lead in prayer. I mean, teaching can happen in a number of different venues, but we need to beware. First of all, the teacher has to teach the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God. That means we don't just pick and choose what we want to teach. We need to teach the full counsel of God. A teacher needs to edify and be encouraging. Okay? That's why we're here. A teacher is not supposed to engage or encourage gossip. Over the years, I've seen men's groups deteriorate. I was never part of a ladies' group, so a men's group deteriorate into gossip. And two times that I know of, I've had to go to the leader and say, either it stops or you're done. Either it stops or you're done. This is not the purpose. Or Bible studies becoming dump sessions rather than what they were supposed to be. A Bible study, and it can easily deteriorate, and it only takes one person to start the rumor, to start the gossip, to whisper poison into someone's ear, to say, hey, did you know? a teacher's life should match what he or she teaches. Isn't that true? I mean, otherwise a teacher doesn't have credibility. Not that we're perfect. And I think here's the key. A smart teacher, somebody in ministry in general, will own up to when they screw up. We'll own up to it. Okay? Yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry, I my anger got out of control. Well, you know, would you forgive me? This is not saying we have to be perfect, but we have to realize the responsibilities. I came across this quote, and the source of it only gives the initials GS. I have no idea who it is, but I thought it was a quote worth saying to you. The secret of a governable tongue is not self-control, but Christ control. In other words, the only way your tongue will be controlled, the only way my tongue will be controlled, is if we submit our hearts and tongues to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's it. You know why? Because I don't have the ability. And if truth be known, there are times I'd like to let my tongue fly off the handle. And I'm sure you do too. But it's only by Christ's control. The other thing about a teacher that I think we should understand is that a good teacher needs to be a lifelong learner. You can't teach without learning. Otherwise, you got nothing to teach. You need to be committed to a lifelong learner. Well, if you think you got off the hook because you're a teacher, no. Or you're not a teacher, that's not true. The rest of this passage is addressed to the congregation. Here we go. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn to whole animals. Anybody ever go horseback riding? It's really quite a good thing. My father and I used to do that when I was young. And just with this bit in the horse's mouth, you can turn them, you can do a lot of things. And we're talking a powerful animal here, right? Then he goes and he says, Take our ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. So you got this relatively small rudder on the rear of the ship steering it. It's amazing when you think of it. And then he goes on to say, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Wow. You know, once you say something, it's hard to take it back. There was an Indian chief who wanted to teach this to one of his young people. So he got a sack full of feathers. And he brings the young person to a cliff, and he just releases the feathers into the wind off the cliff, and he says to the young person, I want you to retrieve every one. The young person says, it's impossible. And he says, so it is with your words. Once they come out, you can't retrieve them. So either we use our words in a way that honors God and builds up and edifies people, or we use our words to curse God and destroy people. Beware of an untamed tongue. A tongue has the power to give direction. It can direct people towards the holiness and the grace of the gospel. That's what we ought to be doing, right? Or it can be directed to destroy people. Again, the same guy who, I don't know who it is, I found another good quote that made me think. He says, there's only one thing as difficult as unscrambling eggs, and that's unspreading a rumor. Now listen, I'm not saying it happens here, but remember when you were a kid and you played telephone, right? You had this long line of kids and you whispered something into the first one, and it was nothing like what came out at the end. There's something about churches where somehow we like to play this game of telephone. And it baffles me. It baffles me. One of the things that I was glad I was raised with, my mother and father told my brother and myself, if you have nothing good to say, don't say it. Just don't say it. I don't know if that's an Italian thing or what, but if you have nothing good to say, don't say it. I got a call. I was in my office one day. I got a call one day from a pastor up in North Jersey who in fact, I preached at his church. And he says, I was surprised to hear you answer the phone. I said, why? He says, somebody told me you had a heart attack. You were in the hospital. And I said, no, I'm still here. At least I think I'm still here. Another time what happened was I preached at a church up in North Jersey. And I got a call from another pastor, in fact, the pastor I preached for. And he says to me, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. He says, you're in your office. I said, yeah, I'm in my office. And he says, they just got a call from Hackensack Hospital that a pastor, Luce Oliveri, was shot. You know what happened? Somebody who attended his church got the bulletin. And I don't know what they did with my name. But I'm trying to illustrate how quick we are with words, and only God knows the motives. What were these people trying to attempt? And God forbid, you mess up. Is there anybody here who doesn't mess up? Boy, is that going to spread like wildfire. Wow. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I don't know if a lot of you are old enough to remember this, but do you remember the bad fires we had here back in the, I guess it was in the 80s? Yeah. Looked like an atom bomb went off. Remember that? Yeah. That was started by an arsonist. One small match. Great destruction. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Let's follow this along with me. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. Listen, whatever comes out of your tongue, whatever comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. You want to argue that with me? Come on, I'll bring you to scriptures. This is what Proverbs says. That's what Jesus says. It's true. I heard somebody started to discuss this with me the other day and said, well, you know, so-and-so is a little crass in his speech because he comes from New York City. And I said, well, you know what? The fishermen in Jesus' day were pretty crass people. They were vulgar. They weren't too careful with their speech. However, over time, God took that over. God controlled their tongue. To the point where on Pentecost, the tongue of Peter, the impetuous one, the one who used to speak before he thought, that tongue preached a message to save 5,000 people. Because he let God control it. It corrupts the whole body, says the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's itself on fire by where? Hell. It's insane. You know, when this rotten stuff comes out of your mouth, the gossip, the slander, the innuendo, the intentional lies, who's fueling that? The devil himself. You know why? Because he's the prince of destruction. That's why. Let's go on. This will make you think. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I like the this translation better. It is a restless evil full of deadly venom. Venom. Wow. Venom that destroys people's reputations, that can destroy their family, can destroy a Bible study, it can destroy a church. Only God and God alone can tame our tongues if we let him. Look what he says. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we'll also curse human beings. So when we leave here today and somebody cuts you off, you're going to tell them they're number one? You get number, they're number two? We tell them that too, right? Do you get the contrast here? Okay? We can be in church, we can be singing praises, but man, when we get out of here, you better watch it. Only God can control the tongue. From the heart, from the inside out through the Holy Spirit. With it, we curse human beings and who have been made in God's likeness. This is the point of this morning's Sunday school. When we talk to people, we need to view people as people made in the image of God. We all are, correct? Doesn't mean we all are born again, but we all are made in the image of God. At least that means we should respect them. What is that word is not used too much anymore. We need to respect people. Respect them. How, to what degree? You respect people how you want to be respected. Jesus says it this way, do unto others as what? You would want them to do on to you. Respect somebody. Hey, you want to call me a jerk? You can call me a jerk. I mean, you got a right to your own opinion. However, all right, that doesn't mean I have the right to go up to you and tell you what a big jerk you are. Respect. One of the things that I want to phrase this carefully. We've forgotten what it means to disagree respectfully. Rather, we have embraced what it means to be disagreeable. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. One shows respect for the person. The other one just means I'm going to get my point across, even if I have to bury you. I'm going to get my point across. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should be underlined. This should not what? In the church. It should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Well, no. Can a grapevine bear figs? Well, no. Neither can a salt spring produce what? Fresh water. And all he's saying here is what comes out of your heart or what comes out of your mouth originated in your heart. If your heart is not right with God, if you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you're not letting the Word of God change you from the inside out, man, then we fall right back into those old patterns. And we'll make ourselves feel good by saying bad things about each about another person. Or if they do something to us, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. See, Tommy, do you know what so-and-so did to me, Tommy? Yeah. Not that Tommy would ever spread. I'm just using, he's a lot bigger than I am. I don't want him getting mad at me. But then you know what happens with that, and I know Tommy better than this. That person takes it to so-and-so, and so-and-so. This is called triangulation. You tell one person something, two others are going to know it. Then they tell someone, and two others are going to know it. And it just spreads like wildfire, just like a forest fire. It spreads like wildfire. This should never be. Our tongues need to be informed by the Word of God. They need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They need to be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. And only Christ can control our tongues. Only Him. So, as we come to the Lord's table, here's what I want to ask. And you have to be honest, and I'm not looking for a show of hands here, okay? You need to be honest between you and God. First of all, if you've been a victim of gossip, let me encourage you to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, guess what this, you're going to do? You're going to plot revenge. And I'm not saying gossip is right. And I'm not saying that that person is justified in what they do. But when we choose not to forgive somebody, we become chained to them. And we give them power they don't deserve. Does that make sense? All right? And so, if you've been a victim of gossip, and probably everybody here has at one point or another, forgive. Give it to God. Let Him work it through with you. Let Him give you the power to forgive. Doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship can go back the way it was, but it does mean that you're released from any bitterness, anger, revenge, or jealousy. Isn't that what Jesus paved the way for us at the cross? When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, again, God knows us. Because what Jesus did on the cross, nailing my sin, my guilt, and my shame to the cross, when God looks at me, He doesn't see any of that stuff anymore. He doesn't. I'm forgiven. The debt's paid in full. And nobody even has to gossip about it anymore. You want to know what a rat I was before I was saved? I'll tell you. And if you don't believe me, you could ask some people who knew me. But God will never gossip. If we've been the propagators of gossip, rumor, innuendo, slander, or intentional lies, I'm going to urge you to own up to it and go to people and ask for their forgiveness. Ask God first. And then go ask for their forgiveness. You see, all of this stuff is motivated by power, pride, could be an inferiority complex, could be spiritually and emotional immaturity, could be jealousy, it could be envy, it could be your agenda being blocked by somebody. But this is a time where we can come before the Lord's table and come clean. Because the Lord's table, the communion table, is a place where we can come and say, okay, Lord, You know it better than I do. I screwed up. You know, I've said some things maybe I shouldn't have said. Where, Lord, I've been the victim of gossip. Today's the day. I need Your help to release and forgive. This is where we can do some serious business with God. If we need to. Brothers and sisters, gossip, slander, and libel should never be in a church. Amen? Would you come?
Sunsets free, oh,
Microphone. Okay.